And of course, then the 46 during the war, all the quick the changes that had to be made right now, like the DC-3, the DC-2, DC-3, and lodestars and all metal. And of course, I don't know who made the first jet, but it wasn't long until they were blowing them around the sky. Even today.
Did you work on the DC-3s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I worked on a DC-3. We changed the... That was a good airplane. That was... I really believe that the DC-3, maintenance-wise, was an easy airplane to maintain. Because the 46 was pretty good, but in fact, it still is. They're using quite a few 46s yet. But a DC-3 has got something else again. There's a lot of them around yet, I guess. I like to work on a DC-3. Yep.
How about in the power plant? You've seen a lot of changes in engines?
Yeah. Well, I never did do much for that end of the business. I did a little of it, overhaul a couple engines. And the big change that I could think of was in the light aircraft. What I was interested in more than the big airplanes was the smaller airplanes at that phase. And like the OX-5 went to the OX-6, the same engine, only they had a OX-6 had two mags on it, and a Hissel, water-cooled all of them. Then, of course, came the air-cooled engines, which were developed in the First World War, I guess, during the First World War. Grom and, I can't think of the names of the things. Well, anyway, first I got tangled up with was the J-4, as I was telling you. I come up here in the Fokker. That was a good engine. But didn't have enough power, you see. So they kept scooping up the power all the time, figuring out ways to do it. And the J-5, which Lindbergh had in his airplane, and there's still a couple of them around Fairbanks that run. It was overhead lubricated, which made it great.